Welcome to episode 41 of VowFB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language VowFB Stuttgart fan podcast where our views are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. But boy, howdy, are we are prepared with happiness today. Joining us is our co-host, Matt. Matt, how happy are you today?
I'm confused. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do with myself. It feels like it's been an eternity since we won a game. And we won it decisively.
I know. It's been since December 11th. That's how long it's the Stuttgart VowFB fan world was just, I mean, it was like Christmas in March at that point. It was fantastic. It's been a long time coming. So why don't we just dive right into it? And because usually at this point we're playing sad songs, how woe is us, but not this time. It was a 3-2 win. And Matt, I just want to bring back those beautiful words of Sosa to Sasa. I mean, yes. How fantastic did that sound?
It was the theme song of last year, and we hadn't heard it. It's like when you hear that song that was a big jam when you were in high school, that was one of your favorites, and then you haven't heard it for a long time, and it's 20 years later, and all of a sudden it comes on the radio, and you're like, yes, this was a good one.
I can dance to that.
I don't know about dancing, but
we were definitely bouncing around there. Yeah, so that was just a fantastic. Is that the first assist for those two this season?
I think it is. And one of the things that was remarkable about it is that it wasn't a traditional Sosa to Sasa aerial attack move. It was Sosa made a pretty ridiculous little move on the ground to get himself some free space. Put the ball right to Kalajic's feet, and he had a little bit of time and space and made a meal out of it. And even I saw people on Twitter being like, oh, Sosa's header from Sosa. Dude, you didn't watch the game. You saw Sosa assist to Sasa goal. You went, must have been a header, because you're a human being, and I get that. But just the fact that they did it again, and then they did it in an unusual for them way, was just filled me with hope and promise for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was such a great run by Sosa down the left wing, like we're used to. And then what a great job of saving the ball from going out of bounds, because it looked like he dribbled too far, passes it over to Kalajic, and just as cool as can be, picked it out, picked the corner, and was able to get it by two defenders, the goalie and a defensive player. And just like, you couldn't have drawn it up any better. I don't know if it was drawn up, but it was exactly what we needed. Let's talk about this. That was the 100th game we played against Gladbach. We've got 41 wins to their 29. So there's that. They're on a bit of a slide. They've only got 2 wins in their last 11 now. And their director of sport just gave the dreaded vote of confidence to their head coach. So things aren't looking too good for them. This was our first win since December. A 2-0 win, you know, at Wolfsburg. I mean, it's been a long time.
It was way, way overdue. It was very deserved. The team, I mean, we've been talking about it for weeks now, that they've been playing really well, been creating a lot of opportunities, and just, you know, we've been snake bit. And they never quit working, and they kept going. And, you know, Borna Sosa, let's just for a second give him a little bit extra credit, because that dude's hustle on Saturday was off the chart. Just unreal. And for a guy who hasn't seen a lot of success this season, who's been in and out with injuries, his compete level is unreal. And making that goal happen at the end and seeing him get that assist and get rewarded for that was really, really fulfilling.
It was awesome watching the guys celebrate. And then after the game, watching them celebrate some more. But after that goal, the players went nuts. It wasn't like the usual. If you remember, everybody celebrated like they had scored the goal. Marmoush slid into towards the flagpole like he had scored the goal. Sosa was running the opposite direction like he had scored the goal. Kalajic obviously went to the crowd because he did score the goal. The relief and the happiness and the weight that was off everybody's shoulders by getting that goal was enormous. And Kalajic said it after the game. It's, to your point, he said, quote, I was positive the whole time because the performances weren't that bad. Unlike our results, you know, now we will continue. And I think that goes to what you said, is that the last few matches, the results haven't been there, but the Hoffenheim match, the Bochum match, they've been on the right track. They've been trending in the right direction. It's just, like you said, the bad luck has just been ridiculous. And finally, and we'll get into it later, we got a little bit of good luck. And I think part of that is you had a sold out stadium, you know, per the COVID restrictions of 25,000 fans were in the seats. And that place was raucous. That place was loud. And I watched the Cologne match the next day, and it was a mid-table match, so not as much was on the line. Mm-hmm. But that place was quiet. And I found out later the Ultras, you know, were boycotting the match for whatever reason. So they weren't there. So that probably played a role. But the one thing, and you've said it before, is the Stuttgart supporters are some of the best in the Bundesliga.
And unbelievable.
It showed up again this weekend. And I've always vacillated back and forth between whether the guys on the pitch struggle with that support slash pressure, or if that support actually helps them. And you've said it before, I think with this group, it definitely helps them. And the more fans that are in the stands, I mean, that place was nuts on Saturday.
Yeah. And you got to think with the run of form the team has been on, to know that the fans are still behind them, that they're still showing up, that they're still making all that noise, even though, you know, the players aren't stupid. They know what the results have been. They know what we're all witnessing. And so just to know that the fans are still with them and still believe in them, getting behind them, that's got to give you a little bit of an emotional boost.
Did you see any of the there were quite a few people that posted pictures online on Twitter after the match of their various points of vision during the game, when the goals were scored and when the game was over. Did you see, I mean, the beer shower after the Kalaji goal in the curve, you know, was amazing. And then there was, I think, Ricky Palm, who does the Stuttgart podcast in Stuttgart, was behind the area where the guys sit. And once again, Sven Mislintat jumped out of bonkers. His shoes, went bonkers. And I mean, it was just we talked about it already. Anyway, the weight of pressure and to finally get a result after some good run of performances, and it was about time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we go to the lineup here in the Stuttgarter Zeitung. Has Valaf Bey finally found a starting 11? I was going to save that for later, but let's talk about it now. We had Sosa, Ito, Anton, and Dino. Karazor, who's been playing amazing in front of them. Juric and Endo. And then you had Marmoush and Tomas on the wings, and you had Sasa Kalajic up front. The obvious player who's missing from that equation is?
Mangala.
So the question is, do you stick with a formula that's working, or do you bring Mangala back when he's fit? And if so, who do you replace?
I think you have to leave it. The obvious guy out, I mean, you're not going to sit Endo down. So, you know, you're not going to sit Furich down. He's been one of our best players since we signed him. So do you sit Karazor? I don't, you know, Mangala is not a one-for-one with Karazor. And I was very critical of Karazor earlier in the season and last year. He's been a linchpin and a huge relief valve for the defense. I don't think you can move anybody. If Mangala becomes an option off the bench, that's phenomenal because he's still a great player. I still think he's dealing with some sort of nagging something or other because he's not been himself, but I don't see who you can take out of this lineup for him.
I 100% agree. The thing that I noticed during the match, it seemed like they were attacking down the wings much more than they had been attacking throughout really the course of the season. And it seems like with Mangala in there, and we got to be really careful how we say this, because Mangala's an amazing, you know, fantastic player. Just seems like they try to attack down the middle a little bit more with Mangala, or maybe it has nothing to do with him as much as that was the game plan. But there's been a ton of turnovers in the middle, and then it puts the team in a really bad spot, and they're backtracking instead of going forward. And this was the first match in a long time where it reminded me of the success we had last year, where on either wing we were dangerous, and on either wing there was a threat. And the preferred wing was obviously the Sosa wing, but Tomas on the other side was doing some really nice things too. Mm-hmm. It seemed like when we went to the middle, it was more of a long ball as opposed to a ticky-tack, you know, type of approach. So I don't know how, if you bring back Mangala, do you go back through the middle And if you do that, I don't think that's what plays to this team's strengths.
Yeah, we're not built to go up the middle. We are absolutely built to go down those wings. And this is just pure feelings. I've got no stats or anything intelligent to back this up. But it feels like Mangala's natural instinct is to move the ball down the field through the middle. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, but that's not what we're doing right now. So if that's an adjustment that he can make, and you know, we were doing it going down the wings last year, so he was doing it last year. I feel like he can do it. I'm not going to write Orel Mangala off to the dustbin right now. He's still one of my favorite players on this team, but he's been playing like garbage lately. And it's best for the team with the 11 that we had starting this game.
Yeah. I keep looking at the 11 that we played. I don't know who you replace in that lineup. Like you said, Endo is a linchpin. He's going to be there for a long time. Furich has played really well. Maybe Marmoush is the guy that you take out. But Marmoush played really well. So I think, like you said, right now, maybe Magal is a super sub and brings in a change of pace. And if he's banged up a little bit, maybe sometimes sitting out is the best thing for him and the club, you know, right now. And let's talk about the reason why Mangala was on the bench. For the first time in a long time, we can criticize Pellegrino Matarazzo for his sub patterns because he didn't have to make a sub due to injury. So the three subs he made, Koulibaly, Forster, and Egloff, were all 89th minute or on. They were all, I think you would agree, what, time-wasting substitutions? Totally. Any questions with the sub patterns that we saw or any of the guys that came in, or you want to take a minute and just talk about Koulibaly's his fun 5 minutes on the pitch
with that whiffed bicycle kick?
That would have been so amazing. So if you didn't watch the match, it was around the 93rd minute when things were really getting nitty gritty. Koulibaly, there's a long ball and he has a chance to do something with it. So he decides to do a bicycle kick. And I imagine it looks like a bicycle kick you or I would try to do. Makes totally. No contact with the ball. So now it's 10 against 11 instead of 11 on 11. And even the announcers, Phil Bonney and Sean Dundee, were like, oy vey.
Yeah.
He really hasn't warmed up yet, has he? So
you know, in his head, though, yeah. You know, Coolio is just like, I got this. This is going to look so cool.
Yeah. Somebody said on Twitter, let's see if I can find it here, is that Bastion wrote, Koulibaly is, quote, somewhere between young and wild, which is the team's motto, and young and insane. And I thought that was a perfect description of the kid. He was the other one, aside from a player we'll mention here in a minute, who got a little bit of criticism despite all the good times. I mean, going back to the substitutions, I didn't think there was anybody you could sub out.
No.
Yeah, they were playing really well. The guys looked like they were really fit and they were willing to go the whole 90. I thought the lineup was our strongest guys. It wasn't like we had somebody who was really strong on the bench, you know, when you consider Magala's injury. Koulibaly at this point, I know a lot of fans are kind of like, listen, I've seen enough of Klimowitz. I've seen enough of Koulibaly. It was an odd substitution, I thought, because Koulibaly's mind isn't of a defensive nature. He's got the pace to do it. I don't think he has the mindset to do it. So where are you at on Koulibaly right now?
I think it's starting to get late early for Koulibaly. He's either got to turn a corner here pretty soon or we're going to need to move on from him. I don't mind the substitution when it was Koulibaly's biggest strength, as you mentioned, is his speed. And if you can get him in there just running like a madman for 20 minutes and harrying the other team's defense when the ball ever goes back, that's fine. And that's kind of, we've referred to Koulibaly and Marmoush both as agents of chaos before, and being that's kind of what they do. So it was sort of a like for like. Although to Marmoush's credit, he's been outplaying Koulibaly by a country mile lately. He had a fantastic game this game. So it didn't hurt my feelings. Really, none of them did, because once you got the third goal, you're up. Mm-hmm. You want to protect it, but your best protection against the way that Mönchengladbach were playing were to keep going at them. So you didn't want to bunker and give them more opportunities. And we already had all of our best players on the field. Mm-hmm. It was fine. And I thought I thought Matarazzo used the subs brilliantly as effective time wasting events. So I've got no complaints.
Yeah, it was all good stuff there. It was, yeah, the cool ball I think is a little interesting. He made it a little bit more interesting than maybe it had to be. I agree with you, is at this point, barring injury, knock on wood, you know, his best role as an agent of chaos, as you said, if things are going south in the second half or something like that. And speaking of going south, I mean, as we get into the game, or we at least get in the first half, this didn't start off that well. It started off extremely poorly. Marmoush, Furich, Sosa, Thiago, Kalajic all had great opportunities in the first 10 to 20 minutes of this match. And sure enough, what happened? 14 minute in, Gladbach goes up a goal. So let's talk about this for a second, because things were getting pretty dark again the first 30 minutes of this match before Endo got us back into it. Let's talk about Florian Müller for a bit. And we've talked about him on this podcast before, and we kind of have come off the negativity a bit because we're kind of on this, we've all got to pull together to get out. There was a lot of criticism towards Müller after those first two goals. And initially I was pretty upset too. I think part of the problem is those two goals were pretty nice goals from Gladbach. I mean, the first goal was just a great reaction. And the second goal, how much of those are responsibility goes on Florian Müller, and how much of that is just those were two great shots, and how much of the criticism against Müller is warranted?
So the announcers were saying, you know, how brilliant the goals were and how they're just things you tip your hat to. I disagree with them there. Especially, we watched the keeper at the other end. Mönchengladbach's goalie made some clutch saves and got on some balls I didn't think he would get to. There were a couple we put, you know, right into his face, and that's shame on us. But he made some huge saves. And I think if you flip the goalies for this game, put Müller in the Mönchengladbach net, I think Stuttgart wins 6-7. I think he makes those saves that Müller didn't make. And Müller got his gloves on the first one and his foot on the second one, but either wasn't strong enough, wasn't fast enough, or wasn't positioned well enough to make the save. And if you can get it, it's like they say with, you know, with wide receivers in college football and the NFL, if you can touch it, you should catch it. Like, it's not like these balls were powered through his hands and blew his wrist off. He just didn't have good form when he went after him.
At Sasha FLTR. And what he does is he analyzes all the goalies in the Bundesliga and gives kind of an analysis of them. And his take on Florian was he made the right move, but he reacted too late. So like you said, he was able to get his hand on it. He was able to get his foot on it. I think my biggest concern with Müller has been his indecisiveness. He's not like Teton, who we had years ago, who would make an amazing play and then make three just what is he doing plays.
Yeah.
Müller's in the right spot, but he's there a fraction of a second too late. And you've mentioned it, and I saw it again. There was a free kick into the box that he was so indecisive on that it should have been an easy save, just pluck it out of the air. But he waited on the back line, and there was a little bit of a mess in the box, and he got it. But it was more nerve-wracking than it should have been. And I agree with you. I think that's a great point. If Jan Sommer, the Gladbach goalie, had been in our net, I think this is an easy victory. That's
no question.
In Müller's defense, a lot of people say, listen, you cannot compare him to Gregor Kobel, because Gregor Kobel is probably one of the top, what would you say, 3 to 6 goalies in the Bundesliga, top 30.
Yeah,
right?
Easily.
Yeah, and there's like, you can't compare him to Gregor Kobel. Müller's had more games, is older, is more experienced, has played in higher level competitions like the Olympics. Why can't we compare these guys? And at the end of the day, is he just a guy?
I think we absolutely can compare him. And you know, they're Bundesliga goalies. So yeah, you can compare him, and they're going to get compared, and they should. And every goalie in the Bundesliga should get compared to Manuel Neuer. I don't care that he's the best in the world. You play in the league with the guy, you're going to get compared to him, as you should. And Florian Müller is not Gregor Kobel, and he's never going to be Gregor Kobel. And if he's having his best day and Kobel's having an off day, Kobel's probably still better. And the guys from the Neverkusen podcast hit me on Twitter after the game and asked, you know, how I felt about our goaltending. And I said, I feel like it's gone from a strength to a major question mark. And we just never know, is Muller going to be the weak spot that gets us pinned this week, or is he going to be good enough that we're going to get by? Mm-hmm. And I think those are the only two options with him. It's never like he's going to make that game saving save.
The only major, like the biggest weakness I see is anytime there's a kick into the box, a long ball into the box, a corner kick, a free kick, I'm scared to death because you've said it numerous times, his job is to control that back area. And it just looks like it's unorganized, it's chaotic, and it leads to a lot of issues there. So hopefully, you know, Florian can kind of keep things together the next 9 matches, because, you know, we'll definitely need him on board and all that stuff. If we're able to end the season on a positive note, it'll be interesting to see if going into next season, we have the same goalkeeper that we have now.
I think he doesn't have to be great for this team, but he needs to be good.
Yeah.
And I think he can be good. He's just not been good most of the time this year. And going into next season, I'd really love to see the team bring in a promising goalkeeper to push him for minutes and push him in practice and see maybe we can get more out of him. I don't have a lot of confidence that's going to be the case, but if it's not, then we need to get somebody else in there who can give us more.
Watch him have 13 saves against Union Berlin next week and make us look like the fools we are.
I would be so happy to be that fool.
Yep. We start printing our Mueller jerseys right now. We can do that. You know, segueing off the phrase where he said he doesn't have to be great, but he's got to be good. Let's get away from the bad luck and let's talk about the good luck here. I mean, the first two goals Schuer gets, Endo, it was a bad pass by Gladbach. Endo happened to be there, was able to get it into the goal. The next one, Endo had an amazing pass to Thiago on the right wing. Thiago sprints down the right wing, has not a great pass into the box, but it bounces around a little bit. Kalajic takes a shot, bounces over a Gladbach player. Furich is just there to put it away. I mean, from 2-0 down to 2-0 up, we finally got the good luck we needed. We finally got on the scoreboard. We scored more than one goal. I wrote this quote down from Kicker. It's like, from that minute, The only question that arose was, would the Schwaben still score the long deserved winning goal? And their response was, the first answers were no, Thiago missed something around the 60th minute, Marmoush around the 70th minute. It looked like it was going to be another one of those matches, but finally some good luck came our way. Gladbach wasn't able to clear it. We already talked about, you know, Sosa sprinted down that wing and got that goal in there. Any, you know, final thoughts on the match, on just how you felt after the final whistle blew?
When that Endo goal went in, we're sitting 2-0 down. And I remember thinking that was lucky. Like, that's a dirty, lucky goal. Those are typically the ones that go against us. And this one went for us. This might be that Wendepunkt we've been waiting for. Like, we might finally be there. And then, yeah, the second one, kind of same deal, had no business going in there, but Furich was ice cold and buried that header. And the go-ahead goal, there's no question. That was a talent, a hustle, a desire goal. You know, so we got the breaks that have been going against us all year, and then we capitalized on it with the talent we have on the team, and that's what you need to do. And the difference between Saturday and the entire rest of the season was we got two of those breaks when we never get those breaks.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because if you look at the stats, this was a blowout. Jan Sommer said it, the coach said it, is like, this was a blowout. It's like they had us pinned the entire match. It should have been closer to 4-2, 5-2 than it was. The XG was 2.7 to 1.3 for Stuttgart, 19-8 shots for Stuttgart, 9-3 on target for Stuttgart. Sommer's had to make 4 saves to 1 for Mueller. The players across the board, the lowest rating was a 3 for the players. They just played amazing. Endo was the kicker player of the week. Furich, the player of the game. Furich was the Botman player of the match. And then both Furich and Kalajic were on the Bundesliga team of the week. It's been a long time coming, but it's great to see. It's great to see some players of the week, some players of the match. You know, as we wrap this up, it was just, I watched the end of it multiple times just to see the players celebrate, to finally see people smile and happy and all that. Here's the fact, though. We're still in 17th place, and based on the results, so here's what we got. So after this match day, Stuttgart's got 22 points. Augsburg beat Bielefeld, so they've got 26. Bielefeld's got 25. Hertha lost big time to Frankfurt, so Hertha's only got 22. Gladbach's got 27 now. So those are all the teams that are under 30 points. There's 9 matches left. Final thoughts on that match, the result, and going forward.
Well, we desperately needed those 3 points, and we got them, and we got them in style and with authority. And I think that should fill the guys with some confidence going forward. And now it's just take care of business. You know, Union's been struggling. They're ripe for an upset with us this coming week. I think that's a game we can win. And, you know, we get 2 in a row, 3 in a row, we're right back in the fight of things, and we're not waiting for the door to drop out from underneath us.
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a second, but we're playing 3 teams 3 weeks in a row, or 3 out of the next 4 weeks, who are maybe season-defining matches. I think Kalajic said it best, where he said, listen, it's positive the whole time because performances weren't that bad, but now we got the result. It's like we've seen it going in this direction. I wrote at halftime of this match, I was like, listen, there's a lot of things to be worried about, but they're not giving up. They're not quitting. They're fighting. They're still going for it. And you've mentioned it in numerous podcasts. This is a team that after they go down a goal doesn't give up. Say what you will about the luck. Say what you will about substitution patterns or offensive play. They fight. And I think that's one of the big things that's going to help us. I am almost convinced that Augsburg is out of reach. It's just they seem to have figured something out. And I don't know what that is. And I know they're only 4 points ahead. Bielefeld's kind of interesting. I was listening to Talking Foosball earlier today, and they had a guest on who is a Bielefeld fan, and she's really concerned about where they're at this point. Hertha Berlin, I think, is the team. They're the ones that I think we were all surprised that Korkut wasn't let go after the 4-1 loss to Frankfurt. They're 1 point ahead. They're taking on a lot of water. This win was huge for us, and I still believe if we can get with or ahead of Hertha, they're going to crumble. I don't think they have the psychology that Stuttgart has to be able to survive that.
Yeah, and really, it's realistic that we could overtake Hertha. As you said, they're only a point ahead of us. And then Bielefeld's only 3. So All we need is for them to drop one and we win. Mm-hmm. And we've got them. And if we get there, we're safe. We don't have to catch Augsburg. We just need to get out of the relegation zone and stay there. And I think we can do that. And your observation about Hertha and Korkut is really interesting, because we kind of saw that when he was Stuttgart's manager. Plays an interesting style, but the team was not the most mentally resilient under him. Something went sideways, you know, had a little bit of bad luck, and people started pointing fingers and getting confused and out of sorts. I don't know that he's the guy you want if you're in Hertha Berlin's position.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if with 9 matches left, they lose 1 or 2 more, if he's still going to be sticking around there, because they're in a tough spot, just like Stuttgart is. But we were able to get that win that we hope is kind of our launching pad into some good times going forward. So why don't we talk about some headlines, some questions, and things like that, because we did have some questions about whether this was a catalyst or not. But before we get that, Matt, as we move on to part two, your usual Discord analyst, was Discord a little bit happier this week?
Discord was really interesting this week. It started with, you know, a lot of really upbeat feelings with the chances we were getting. And then some, man, we needed to bury one of those. Maybe it's going to be another one of those games. And then just kind of people acquiesced into acceptance really fast. There wasn't any anger. It was just like, well, this is what happens this year. And then it got quiet, and it was real quiet until the first goal. And then belief immediately kicked in. And I think it was that, you know, we had a lucky goal go our way. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was just building. And I didn't get to stay on the Discord for the end of the game, but I went through and reread it afterwards, and just people losing their minds with joy, which is not something that's happened there in a long, long time.
I know. Let's go down to, we'll skip around here a little bit. We'll go down to some of the questions. And I think you asked this on Twitter, like, what is this feeling that is not doom or dread or disappointment? I thought that was pretty apropos of how all of us were feeling. It's like, how do I, when I told my wife and my kids, you know, how did Stuttgart do? And they expected the usual. I was like, hey, we won. They were beyond shocked. One at the result, but two, very happy because daddy was going to be very happy that week. So the village footballer asked, they said, listen, this is truly a gigantic win for Valve Bay. Will this comeback be a catalyst for a big run, or is this giving us false hope? We both answered this on Twitter. I'll let you take this one. What do you got?
I feel like it's going to be a catalyst. Just the way it happened, the way it went down, and the way the team played the entire game. I thought it was really interesting on the broadcast. They show at halftime when they're coming back, they show that average position for all the players. And like everybody but three people, I think, on Stuttgart were in the opponent's end. And that's not something we've seen a ton of, but it really spoke to me to how much we had pressed Mönchengladbach and how much pressure we were putting on them. So I feel like the way that they've been playing and now getting this break, belief has got to be high. The guys have got to be pumped and starting to see a light flickering for them. I think this is really going to be a catalyst.
I 100% agree. And I think part of it goes to what Joe at Blue Tea has. Sorry, Joe, I mess that up all the time. He's like, do you think winning in front of our own Konstatter curve is a big turning point in the season? And do you think the team has the gas to stay up? I do. Like I said, I've always vacillated between whether the fan support, because the Stuttgart supporters are so loud and so invested, actually helps the team or puts too much pressure on them. And I just remember back to the Christian Gentner years. And Christian was a fantastic player, a great leader by all accounts, but I just always felt that those guys crumbled under the pressure of expectations. I don't get the sense it's with this group. And I get the sense that, like you said a couple pods ago, that the crowd is, listen, we've been through relegation before. We know we have to be super supportive. And even when they were down 2-0, the crowd didn't turn. I was interested to see what would have happened at halftime had it stayed 2-0, but the crowd was still in it, still supportive. And so I really think the support that we saw at the Hoffenheim match, even though that was a loss, and we saw it at the Gladbach match at home, really do help the guys. It's a young team. And I think the crowd realizes it's a young team. I think the team knows the crowd's on their side. And it may be an intangible thing, but I think in a situation like this, it's incredibly valuable, incredibly important. So yeah, Joe, I do think winning in front of the curve is a big turning point. And honestly, I do think they have the gas to stay up. I think it's gonna be close, but I like where we're at this moment in time.
Yeah, and I feel like the Stuttgart fans are, it's a really knowledgeable fan base, and I don't feel like it's a group that is prone to overreaction in the moment as much as we are online. The people who are in the stadium, for whatever reason, maybe they put down extra downers in the beer or something, but they seem to get it a little more. And the players have got to notice that.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was a great atmosphere. I mean, if you haven't seen some of the post-match crowd reactions on Twitter or some of the other online social media places, give it a go, because it makes you proud to be a supporter of the club. And it was just great for everybody and everybody all involved. Let's wrap up the questions and the headlines here with one that's kind of interesting. It came out that Mercedes-Benz, who is the sponsor of Stuttgart and is on the logo at the front of the blue string, the red stripe, their contract runs out at the end of next season. And so nobody's really sure if they're going to re-up or if we're going to go in a different direction. So Lennart at L_Sauerwald, he did all the data. He said, since 1976, there's been a number of different sponsors, Frott Sauna, Canon, Dinkelocker Beer, Sandvald, Sudmilch, which is my favorite, Gottlinger Group, Divitol, ENBW, Gazi, and now Mercedes. Mercedes next year will be the longest running sponsor. It'll be 11 years. Sudmilch is the second longest sponsor. Any thoughts on that? And how long before you're going to say the word Rust-Oleum on the jersey?
Immediately. Rust-Oleum's got to do it. I feel like there are two obvious choices. If Mercedes decides not to re-up, which, put this right out in front, I hope Mercedes does re-up. I think there's a really close symbiotic relationship between the club and that company. We play in the Mercedes-Benz Arena. It just makes a whole lot of sense. Mercedes is a Stuttgart company if it's not Mercedes, it should be Porsche. But how wild would it be to have Porsche on the shirt with Mercedes-Benz Arena?
Oh, ouch, yeah.
I don't think Mercedes would let that happen, but it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we did some logo samples of what the Porsche logo would look like in the center of the Bruce ring, and it's sharp.
It looks
good.
But so I think Rust-Oleum's an obvious choice. I think they should get on board with this. I sent them a picture of fans marching to the stadium and said, think of your logo on every single one of these shirts. I don't know if they'll go for it or not, but they should. Their logo is already red, white, and black. It's made for it. And the other one that's made for it, and we have not talked about this, so this will be a surprise for you.
Oh.
But feels obvious to me, red stripe beer.
Oh.
How is this not happening? We are the team with the red stripe. Red stripe, let's, come on, man.
This could be Stuttgart's dive into the Caribbean market too.
Spread international. You know, German beer ambassadors welcoming beer from other countries, get the Caribbean market going, get the South American market going. Mm-hmm. We could all shout hooray beer and hooray VFA. It'd be awesome.
The official red, and it would be kind of a lot of fun too, because we would have the red stripe on our jersey, and then we would have a logo that says the words red stripe. So there'd be no room for, interpretation there. It would be pretty straightforward as to what we are. So Rust-Oleum, Red Stripe, if you guys are listening, have your people get in touch with our people, which is, well, us, I guess. Right.
Well, we'll take a cut of something. I don't know what it is, but we'll take a cut.
That could be we could start up our new Patreon account. Red Stripe analysis or something. Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens with the logo deal. I'm with you. It's Mercedes owns part of the team. They're right across the street from the team. It just makes too much sense for them not to be a logo of the team. Yeah, so we'll see what happens in that. We'll see what happens in the coming days with that. Speaking of the coming days, Matt, let's move on to part three and predictions. We're all super happy. We're all super just excited right now, but we have 9 matches left. We are still in 17th place. We are traveling to Union Berlin, the 7th place club in the Bundesliga. We've got Union coming up, Augsburg coming up, and Bielefeld coming up in the next 3 matches. So 3 huge matches. All time, this one is 1 win apiece and 5 draws. So it's pretty even, Steven. Match day 9, it was another draw. We were down early, and then the 93rd minute, Wahid Fahir scored a late goal. And that's pretty much the last we've heard of the kid. He's been playing in the regional league since then. Union, it's interesting. They start off really strong. And in their last 8 matches, they've got 4 wins and 4 losses, but they had lost 3 of their last 4, and they've only scored 3 goals since the winter break.
Didn't they lose their top scorer at the break?
Max Kruse either forced his way out, asked for his way out, or they agreed to a way out, and he went to Wolfsburg. And since he left, it has been a pretty dry spell. And they only scored those 3 goals against Mainz. So they're struggling a bit with just getting goals and getting results at this point. They're still in 7th place. They're still totally fine, you know, on the table. They've got, they're playing Leipzig in the Pokal coming up. I mean, they're in the final 4. So they've got nothing to be ashamed of going forward. So what are your thoughts going into this match before we relay what the prediction is?
Stuttgart by 1,000,000. I feel like it's an opportunity for, as well as we played against Mönchengladbach, as well as we have been playing, it's an opportunity to build on the success we had, to gain some momentum, and to take advantage of the fact that Union lost their best striker and is a little adrift right now. And if we can get out there and get pressure on them early, hopefully they'll get back on their heels, get a little, you know, pointing at each other and a little confused, and we can make them pay for it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more worried about this match, is that Union always seems to play really smart. They always seem to play really well against us, dating back to the relegation playoff matches. They know how to play, and I don't mean this in a bad way, dirty. They know results are results, and playing ugly and playing long ball gets you results. And even though they don't score, I think one of the interesting things about the Gladbach match was that they played to counterattack us. They didn't press us as much as I think what we're used to. It was really kind of an interesting change of dynamic from what we're used to. I'm not sure if Union is going to press us, but I bet they'll play that counterattack style too and just sit deep and try to go for it. And we usually struggle against, you know, teams that do that. So I'm a little nervous about this. What do you think the betting predictors have this one set at?
Is it in Union?
It is at Union.
At Union. I bet they give us a goal.
It's half a goal. So Stuttgart is getting half a goal. Let me go. Let's see. Last week, Matt, you went 5-3. So in our betting predictions, I have the lead. Ooh, I went 7-1. Look at that. And
look at you.
And I'm acting surprised. So gracious am I. I've got 113 wins. I surpassed Austin by one. He's got 112. You're doing great, though. You've got 107. And Jeff is making up ground at 105. We all picked Stuttgart last week, so we all got a win there. Here's the wild thing. Tip Kick made a return and not only got it correct, but also nailed the score in his 2-0-1 in its last three matches. So everything is rolling our way. Stuttgart's getting half a goal on the road. Everybody seems to be healthy, knock on wood. Who you got?
Stuttgart's going to win. We have to.
There's no doubt about it, huh? I like the confidence.
Everything could come crashing down because, of course, it can. And we're Stuttgart fans, and so we're programmed to believe that it's all going to come crashing down at any minute. But I just got to believe with the mentality that Matarazzo's instilled in this team, with the belief in each other that the guys have, the way they've been playing over the last several weeks against, you know, lots and lots of adversity to finally get rolling, I think they're going to be an unstoppable train.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a little bit, that if we can just get things going, that it's going to be, we'll be in good shape. And hopefully this is the thing. I am going to take Stuttgart in this one too. I think it's going to be a draw. I think it'll be a 0-0, 1-1 type of thing. Union scares me. It's not that Stuttgart's not playing well. It's just Union kind of frightens me a little bit. So I'll take Stuttgart in this one too. I'll agree with you, but for a little bit different reasons here. Usually we just predict that match, but there's one other match I want to throw at you because it's the match that really impacts Stuttgart. It's Gladbach is hosting Berlin, Hertha Berlin. They're the afternoon match on Saturday. So Stuttgart's the morning match. That's the afternoon match. Hertha is getting a goal in that one, but Gladbach is a team that's scruffling a bit too. What do you think is the ideal result in that one? Because there are two teams that are pretty close to us. And who do you think is going to pull that one out?
I think the ideal result would be for Gladbach to take Hertha. We need Hertha to get knocked down. A 1-1 wouldn't be terrible, mm-hmm. You know, point apiece from a draw, but Hertha getting no points at all, especially if we can get a result against Union, that would be ideal. And I feel like, you know, Mönchengladbach's not a bad team. And I think we punished some tendencies of theirs. And I could see them going back and sitting down and having a real long talk and saying, look, Stuttgart just made us look stupid and we're going to take it out on Hertha Berlin, because Stuttgart's not a bottom three team talent-wise. Results-wise, no question. I don't know that Hertha Berlin has the talent level that Stuttgart does.
Yeah, I watched some of that match they had against Frankfurt, and it was 4-1, probably doesn't give that game justice as to what it could have been.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. And it's kind of surprising because our experience with Korkut is a defensive player, right? And they've got Kemp, who's a solid defensive player. They've got, you know, Santi Escobar, who's a good defensive player, but man, oh man, are they just, their goal differential is horrific. If not for Fert, we'd all be talking about them. I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see if we can get a result against Union. The best case scenario is probably Gladbach just blows the doors off this team and continues them, you know, going down. A 1-1 draw actually would be interesting. It's +1 in this one. Take Hertha in this one. Probably a bad bet. It'll be interesting to see which Gladbach shows up. The one that we played or the one that's, you know, can put some goals in the net. So that's going to be a huge match. I'll take Hertha. You got Gladbach in that one. those are the two big ones that impact us. So Stuttgart at Union, Gladbach at Hertha Berlin. That's going to be a fun weekend or a fun Saturday. We'll see how that goes there. Anything else on the prediction scene, Matt, we need to cover?
Stuttgart's staying up.
Stuttgart's staying up,
everybody. I'm full of optimism, though. We're staying up.
I wonder, as we wrap this up, if our listener count will plummet now that we've become much more positive.
You don't think people want to listen to us feeling hopeful? They're looking more for the train wreck.
Is there anything more just satisfying than listening to two middle-aged Midwestern guys whine and complain about?
For a certain segment of the population, I'm sure that's very fun.
Maybe that'll be maybe if this podcast never takes off, that'll be our next podcast.
We can call it, Have You Seen the Weather? Because I can tell you, just in the time of our call, it's gone from rain to sleet to snow, back to sleet to rain again, and now it's snowing.
Oh, the Midwest.
Fake spring in Michigan.
Well, yep. Well, I guess it's our fault. We made the decision to live here, just like we made the decision to support Stuttgart. But this has been a fantastic week. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this week. Let's keep the good times rolling, and hopefully have some more happy thoughts next time.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, Travis. You